It's Bernie. I'm in Ireland, and it's a very windy day. We have an ex-hurricane, Ophelia, passing overhead. And I had a hurricane of activity on a Sunday flow of content using Anchor. As Tawan, the power user of Anchor, would point out, lots of content that happens on a weekend goes unheard by other folks because, well, lots of folks I know who I follow, they have other things to do besides social media on weekends. But I guess starting with Julian Summer Hayes asking an open question of himself, how he uses digital content or digital channels, and then myself musing about it, and then Paul and Manny picking up on the background information. A pretty interesting call to action emerged, which I think deserves treatment as a episodically as a podcast. So I'm going to rewind some stuff from Sunday. You're welcome to scrub forward on it. Or just dive into the episodes area where it'll appear as content related to formulating a better focus on my digital content flow. I welcome the power critics, the folks who've done this for a while. Avi Yunkovich, you've done it for a while. Eileen Smith, done it for a while. Greg Dixon, doing it now. That's why he's sort of quiet here for the time. Jane Boyd. It's done it for a while. People who've maintained content for more than a decade and shifted the content into more than one channel, photographs, video, printed media. Yeah, I respect that. And that's kind of the direction I want to go. Get the workflow, make the content, repurpose it as required, and recycle and repeat. All right, so some thoughts about where I'm taking my digital content production stream follow in what should be episodic treatment and perhaps a well-listened segment because it reflects my life and where I'm headed with content that I create and want to give a half-life of greater than the 24-hour cycle on Anchor. Comments welcomed. Bye for now. So, Digital Life, Bernie, 2017. What's up? I was listening to Julian Summer Hayes, and I thought, you know what, I could give a little bit of a feedback to where I spend my time, actually where I pay to be. So, for years, I've paid to be with Ben and Meet and Trot. So, they had a PHP platform that was movable type, and then it became TypePad, now it's six apart. If I were to abandon that platform, more than 10,000 pieces of written content would go away. Now, here's why I keep it. It's not because I feel obliged to that content, but it is a digital diary, a journal of sorts, and it's really helpful to kind of realign values and actually go back a year, or in this case, 10 years, to see what I was thinking about. Started with movable type back in early 2000, the year 2000. I've had a blog since 1997. And what I know is over a space of time now, if I put a 4 to 6 word question to Google and I've written about that question as a title on a blog post, my question will be answered within normally the first 10 responses on Google. Unless it's a really critical space like porn, or biological sciences, pharmaceuticals. They're competitive, really competitive. But just to know, I can just, in the realm of spatial computing, spoken requests, that I can be found quickly if I think about things that have titles. That's why I'm going to keep that blog. I also pay, who is it now, Verizon? I pay Yahoo. I paid Yahoo. I pay for 2 Flickr accounts. There's more than 30,000 images on those accounts. Automatically, my phone's been uploading to Flickr forever. Most of the stuff is private in a camera roll I've never seen, but the AI has gotten smarter on Flickr. It's still not as smart as Google Photos. I also upload all my stuff automatically to OneDrive. I pay for that, so I'm paying for about $140 a year for my blog. I'm paying another $40 a year for the 2 Flickr accounts. I'm paying for Pinterest. Or rather, I'm paying for, what's it called? Spreaker. For audio. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy about those things. I'm happiest when I produce content for them. So we'll see. See where I go with all that stuff. I know if I focus my thoughts on these things, the stuff will go better. And that's to some extent what Julian's done. Focus on certain things. Julian, I keep an account on LinkedIn because students need my references there for jobs. And I followed Greg Dixon's advice and I opened an account on Optivist because Optivist is actually the fastest way for me to produce a Kindle product or a .mobi product, an EPUB. Got to focus on those things maybe in the next year. Because within 990 days, I want to actually have something that's making money because I won't be earning money as a third-level lecturer then. It's my digital life. Bye for now.
Bernie, hello and good morning on, well, good afternoon on Sunday. It's 2 o'clock, I'm leaving Kinsale. No sign, by the way, of the hurricane here yet. Just a bit of info, really, to share. I got a bit of a surprise this morning in the email I got from Anchor. The number of listens I got yesterday, or whatever the metric, the most recent one, is up by about 70% on what I've achieved on any previous day. So I don't know what to make of this. I'm trying to say to myself, is what did I do yesterday, or what actually happened yesterday to make such a spike? Anyway, just sharing that.
Paul, good to hear from you. I think that weather will come, and I think it will blow. I've got a parasail umbrella I'm tying down tighter in Clonmel when I get back. In terms of listeners, rarely do I get to triple digits of total listens. What's happening now is 1/4 of all my listens normally come from my podcasts. How about that? So it seemed that I want to get that up to half of all my listens coming from my podcast, because I want to play the podcast game, which means I got to make more podcasts about topics people might want to listen to. In your case, I saw your content and heard it in other places, not your station. So it wasn't content made yesterday that would reflect in the stats today. It would be content you made maybe a few days ago, and I think Bobby would have pushed some of it, and I think two other places I ran into your content. So that might be the magic trick. You know, it's the power of the echo. And I'm starting to think that based on how other people end up in the top leaderboard places, the people that are, they're popping 5-minute segments, they're actually throwing entire podcasts in, like Business Jazz Podcasts, throw the whole thing in. And I think there's something in the algorithm about the total number of minutes played. All they're doing is they're weighing the thickness of the download. So now Anchor doesn't know if someone actually listened to you. It's just that, did they download that heavier segment? So people that make bigger segments, you know, more than 3 minutes long perhaps, potentially, go all the way to the 5-minute limits, and they count more. Because it's very easy for the Anchor server to say, well, a segment weighed 5 megs. That would be like a 5-minute segment versus 2 megs. That'd be maybe a 90-second segment. So there you go. I think your Octaver stuff and I think your Opera stuff, when it comes across to the Omani blog channel on Anchor, I think they're more than 3 minutes long. And you're naturally more, you're loquacious, Paul. So you're naturally more than 4 minutes long anyway. Make 10 of those segments a day and get a few of them echoed by people, and you're going to have more than 10 plays per segment. In my case, everything I did yesterday, just shout out Saturday Things. Unusual to have anything listened to more than 7 or 8 times. And when they were listened to more than that, it was because Robert Neal pushed them across to his channel. But I don't mind being number 498, because I'm one above Colin Flynn. He's 499. We're both proud members of the top 500. Unless I don't talk at all, then I drop to the top 5,000 until I come back in with a 2-minute piece of content, then I go to the top 500. Figure that out. And like I said, in my heart,
and in my analytical mind, I think your success of the spike is related to the fact you're making big content pieces and people are echoing them. End of story. Do that for a whole weekend and, you know, heck, you could end up in the top 20 and listen to the help of a Georgie D or someone that has easy standing in that space, and bang, you're famous. Anyway, off to listen to your channel now. Thanks for calling in, Paul. Kinsale. Gin. Gin and Kinsale. You had your gin there, didn't you, Paul? There's two or three places I went to that. There's somebody down there making really clever gin and tonic concoctions. I forget who it is. Damn, it's probably one of my books. I enjoy gin and tonics in with Cork, dry gin, in the Pembroke Hotel of Kilkenny yesterday. It was very good. Recommended. Bye for now.
Bernie, I'm just listening to you talking about the FaceTime with the girls, and I've thought of a way. I was saying to myself, is what income stream could Bernie have going forward in the future? And I thought, look, I'm surrounded, and I think a lot of people, other people are too, by people who say, you know, the internet is dangerous for kids, and God, there's even an Irish politician who doesn't want to let kids be on the internet by a certain age, and they put a lot of the emphasis on the dangers, and the impact of what they're saying is to reduce the ability of kids to use the internet, and your whole thrust is to help in a very, very responsible way, kids to be able to use and to celebrate the use of the internet by kids. So I'm wondering if you'd consider being, you know, the number one consultant on that.
Paul, thanks for calling in about that EdTech piece about FaceTime and the kids. You know, I watched them make connections, and it's interesting to watch Mia, how sophisticated she is about establishing a contact, validating the contact by both an email, a face, and a name, cross-referencing the contact's details with something else. So, like, in her case, it's pretty simple. You know, the contact's her cousin, and she knows what she looks like. And she understands that when the FaceTime call comes in with the contact's avatar attached, it's not always the face. It could be someone else using the contact. What she also knows is pretty clever is that contacts in one phone can cross-migrate to another device. So the 10-year-old, Mia, and her perceptiveness is providing me a framework that I could actually take to teachers or to parents or aunts or uncles saying, look, here's what you need to know how the system works. Because, I mean, in fairness, most people don't know if they have an iPad and they have a phone that the contact database can migrate between the two of them. And they don't know if they have an old hand-me-down phone. Like, parents give their phones to their kids and they don't clean them totally. Contact database is in there. And they don't know there's a European law that's going to make them responsible for the open sharing of that data. Yeah, I'm with you. I think there could be a point where instead of just slavishly saying, I love Apple products and let's use them for communication and connection. No, what we're doing it is from the point of view of storytelling, just like Mark Rock did. So next month, this month of October and November, we're having third level students go after the lost story meme. You know, find a story. Share the story. And the joy of it is they know how fast they can scan the story by snapping a picture. The picture might just be the front door of the house where the lost story resides behind that worn store front or that lost front, that scratched front door. Or they can record a voice. Or they can record the sound of silence or the sound of technology in a space, the sound of a horse's hooves in the stable. You know, it's the recording of the artifact and the making, embellishing the artifact and putting a story behind it. That's the first baby steps, and you and I know that's so valuable. That's what makes Anchor an interesting piece of mobile technology. You can capture stuff on the fly and stitch it together using the storytelling metaphor of building an episode, and that's where I want to go. I want to go down to storytelling mode and let the rest of the technology envelop the question, because if you buy off on the fact that you can make a story with your handheld device, and then you think you need to archive it and perhaps share it or syndicate it. All of a sudden, now you're in the space that you mentioned. It's responsible use of internet and interconnected technologies. That's such a good thing. Such a good thing. And you're right, it is a space I wouldn't mind being in. Let's see how that unfolds. Thanks for articulating it, Paul. Enjoy your day. It's cloudy here, and I think all around Ireland it is as well. Belinda, if you're listening, it means it's probably going to rain on you on Monday. Because the weather we have in Ireland occasionally makes itself to London town a day later. Bye for now.
When I say how you could make money and all this, I'm thinking of the desirability of having a champion for the other side of the debate and how you can achieve a national, indeed international, reputation in that area. I'm not familiar enough with that area to say who is the equivalent of what I'm talking about today. But as you say, this issue is running and running, and I wouldn't expect it to go away. But I think you do have all of the knowledge and talents. Whether you have the impulse is another issue, but to become a kind of world champion of the intelligent use of the internet for educational purposes.
Yeah, Paul, I got to put my mind to that, but then I got to have some kind of accreditation. People got to believe it. But my initial interest is natural because, you know, I'm connected to Jane Boyd, who knows how to train kids. She, early childhood education all the way up through homeschooling. And then Debbie Bridges on the homeschooling thing. So we understand how young children, young minds might be influenced by this natural need. It is. It's a natural need of being able to quickly find content that's creative that they can reuse and learn from, and then also make their own original stuff. I need to, Jane, if you're listening, this is one reason why I want to do this series of podcasts with you. It's good stuff. And then Paul, like, I've got four grandchildren in the United States, and they all need to hear each other's voices. It's like pen pals of the past connecting. So you have two kids in Arizona, two kids in Oregon, two kids in Ireland, and then you have first cousins scattered around as well. Really interesting. You have all their voices come together around family themes. Bundle those themes together with the kids talking to the grandparents about experiences. My God, it's highly listenable. Quite diverse, because in my case, you get an Irish, German, Russian, Swiss, and another influence, I can't remember what it is, connected together, because the great-grandparents, in my case, were over here in Ireland. We were talking about that last night, 70th birthday celebration, looking at the great-grandparents. I'm thinking, okay, look, they're in Ireland, in the Liberties in Dublin. On this side, my wife's side of the family. But like the great-grandparents in my case, they were in County Clare at that time. And, you know, we were separated by what? 40, 50 miles back then. And now we're separated by an ocean and then a continent. But we're an earbud away from each other's shared experience. So I got to make that happen. And it's difficult. It's tedious connecting the enthusiasm of the project to the memories that can be easily scraped and shared in a moment. Planning some for the summer of 2018 that might break open this entire construct. Yeah, see where it goes. It's handy having this easy handheld technology powered by a cheap SIM contract, mobile contract, to connect all thoughts. Thanks for sharing, Paul. We'll see where this goes. I'll make it into a podcast. That's what I'll do. First thoughts on educational technology, connecting stories across generations, through continents of interest. Bye for now. It's the 15th of October, 2017. I'm Bernie in Kilkenny, the city of culture in Ireland. Actually, it isn't the city of culture because that earned honor goes to Galway. But I've had a seminal moment, one of these times when I have had voices validate for me that ideas that I have actually make sense. So thank you, Paul O'Mahony, and thank you, Julian Summerhays. I decided to go down a pathway which kind of zeroes in on several things I've been paying to do for more than 5 years. Had to make those paid channels of content creation work. Starts with a process and a workflow. But I just want to say on the 17th of October, or no, the 15th of October, 2017, I've got that realization to heart, taken on board some learned observations from listeners, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Anchor, for facilitating the process. I'll keep you abreast of what we're doing exactly with what I'm just babbling about. It may not be obvious from the moment that I'm talking about it what I'm going to do, but hey, it'll fill my EdTech channel here on Anchor as time goes on. Thanks for listening. Know that I'm inspired. You should be too. Bye for now. So, for regular listeners, you know I don't like to repeat content, but if I'm to use the Anchor pod production method, when you re-share content, you end up being able to reorder it. And then once it's reordered, I can make it into an episode. So if all works out okay, people who never heard me on Saturday or Sunday will hear what Paul O'Mahony and I were talking about in terms of content production, and you might hear me reflecting on something I heard from Julian Summerhays, a voice I've listened to over the years as well. And the goal is to kind of snap stuff into place and listen to this again, maybe once a month, to figure out, is this actually the path I'm on to produce, to syndicate, to share, and perhaps to monetize a flow of activity which is otherwise just totally social and enjoyable. But I need to have a plan, man, because quite frankly, the social juices on the real world, I like them better, actually. And when I run, which is something I like to do, I can't talk, you know. So there you go. Thanks for listening. If you want to reach me, I'm Top Gold on Good Social Networks. Let's make and create and share together, okay? Bye for now.